Good afternoon, everyone. Cindy, can you hear? Okay, good, yeah. Great, please open your Bible to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Ezekiel 34. Verses 15 through 24 are in your bulletin. And you'll need the whole chapter. We only have verses 15 through 24 just to make it sure that it's not too long. But I'll be referring to many parts of this chapter. So be sure to have that open while you're turning there. Some of you know Tamaki was my student for 3 years. I taught him English from junior high school, first, second, and third year. And yeah, it's my fault. He doesn't speak English very well. I'm just joking. But also, his class leader, who injured his head yesterday, he was my basketball player. I was his basketball coach. And yeah, his head was always injured. So I'm just joking. That's a terrible joke. But yeah, we're praying for him. He's a good kid. Good kid. So yeah, all right. No more terrible jokes from now. Let's read the book of Ezekiel. It's verses 15, and then let me see here. we'll read from verse 15 to 17, and then we'll read. Yeah, sorry. My slides are messed up. I'll read verses 15 through 19, the first half. And then please join me at verse 20. And do I have it? Yeah, so it's all over the place. But okay, so I'll start 15 to 19 and join me at verse 20. This is the Lord God speaking in the book of Ezekiel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And as for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Please join me reading verse 20. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shoved with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place them over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. The very word of God. Amen. So, let me begin with a story. There was a young man. He was about 15 or 16, high school student, age. He lived in the countryside. He had seven brothers. He was number eight. And as the youngest brother, he had to take care of the sheep of his family, his father's sheep. So he was a shepherd boy. He would often take the sheep out and take care of them, you know, take them to different pastures. Sometimes bears or lions would come and they would attack the sheep, and he had to take his sling and shoot the wild animals to protect his sheep. One day, a prophet came to his house and said, you someday are going to be the king of our country, Israel. And the prophecy came true. David, who was the eighth brother of his, or eighth son of his father, grew up and became the king of Israel. Not only the king, but the greatest king of Israel. And God put his spirit in him, and he was the leader of Israel for 40 years. And he was known as the shepherd king. David was the king who was a shepherd, but now he is the shepherd not of his father's sheep, but he's the shepherd of the whole country, the whole people. And then he died, and his son Solomon, he was called the shepherd, and then not only his son, but the rest of his grandson, great-grandson, all his descendants. And they were terrible kings. They split the country, they split the people, and they didn't lead them very well. And for almost 600 years, the country of Israel just went down, 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 down. And they always looked back, David, he was the greatest king. He was our great shepherd. And so now Israel is attacked by Assyria. And that's the northern half of the country has been taken out. And then a few years later, about 100 years later, the kingdom of Babylon comes and attacks the southern half of Israel. And they take... they take away the kings, the priests, and the kings and the priests are called shepherds. That's the number one name for any kind of a leader in ancient Israel. The king, the governors, the priests, the servants, the ministers, they were all called servants. So Babylon takes Israel out, attacks Israel and brings them to Babylon. And one of the people who was a priest, his name is Ezekiel. And one day he gets a vision from God. And God is speaking to him. And he writes down a lot of his sermons. He writes down a lot of his visions. And there's a whole collection. It's the book of Ezekiel. One of those sermons is this chapter, chapter 34. And Ezekiel has a message from God to Israel about the shepherds. So when you hear the word shepherd, you have to think the word leader. Shepherd equals leader. And so God says here in verse 15, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down. And so what we were reading in this passage was God saying all of the leaders of Israel whether they're political, spiritual, governmental, religious, they failed. There was a failure of leadership. And so from now, I have to do this. I'm going to be your shepherd. In fact, what we're going to learn today is a lot about leadership and how it fails. Now, I want you to think, when we start now, think of, your job, a company, government, or a political situation where things are not good. It's kind of chaotic. It's a bad situation, a bad atmosphere. Miwa, thank you very much. Arigato. And think of the reason why the company or the business or the government is collapsing or in a bad situation. Most likely, it's the leader, right? And so the problem with a leader becomes a problem for the people. So, it's not in your bulletin, and I have it on the screen, but I want you to look at your own Bible app or your own Bible. God starts in verse 2, and I'll just read it for you. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat curds, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the choice animals, you don't take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there were no shepherds. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth. No one searched or looked for them. I want you to see here the problem. The problem is bad leadership. Now, one thing I want you to see, but then two effects, and they're all here. It's kind of an outline, an analysis of how leaders fail. And this is something we can learn from, and we can grow from. But the number one thing is the heart of the leader, the motivation. And it says there, you only take care of yourselves. You do not take care of the flock. Why did the leaders fail? Their heart, their motivation, was not to take care of their people. It was to take care. The reason they became leaders was not to help people. It was to help themselves. Do you see that? That's the motivation. That's the heart of a bad leader. You use the people to make yourself fat. Instead, you should be using yourself to make your people fat. Use your money, use your resource, use your influence, use your power to help the people have food, resources, position, security. But instead, it's the other way around. You don't want to serve, you want to be served. Right? And that's what God is saying to the leaders. Now, that's the heart, that's the motivation. But now, I want you to look at the result. There's two results, and they're equal, but they're opposite. What's the result of a leader with a bad heart, a bad motivation? You can see here, it says, you have not brought back the strays. You do not take care of the flock. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that is neglect. You're lazy. You're not giving the care that you should be giving. That's the one result, okay? So neglect. You're just letting them go wild and go free, and now they're dying. Because you neglect, you're not giving them the love, the care, and the guidance that they need. You're not doing what you're supposed to be. But that's only half of it. The other result is here. You ruled them harshly and brutally. You're being a tyrant. You're beating them. You're using them. You're commanding them. You're ruling them. You're starving them. You're taxing them. You're scolding them. You're being harsh to them. Why? Because you don't love them. You only love yourself. That's the result of having a bad motivation, the bad heart. Do you see that? So there's neglect, and then there's brutality as a result of wanting to be served instead of wanting to truly serve. Okay? Whether you're a parent, you're a manager, you're a teacher, you're a business, whatever, I don't know, whatever company, whatever organization, your job as someone who is placed above others is to give two things, okay? Is to give care. Find their needs. What are they lacking? What do they need and they don't have enough of? Is it comfort? Is it advice? Is it guidance? Is it knowledge? Can you teach? Is it a resource? What do they need? And you have to provide that. That's called grace. Okay? But not only do you need grace, you need truth. A leader tells his people, this is reality. And because this is the reality, we need to go from this reality to the, we are here, we need to go here. Follow me. That's a leader. Now, so they need grace, they need truth. John chapter 1 talks about Jesus, and it says that Jesus is full of grace and truth. Jesus is the perfect balance. We'll get to Jesus a little bit later. I couldn't wait, so I just tell you. But anyways, so you see here, God is saying, you don't have any of that. No grace and no truth. Neglect and brutality. Why? Your heart. That's the problem. So God gives a solution. The problem is, it's only half the solution. We need leaders because we're sheep. Sheep, the reason why, in the Bible, the people of God, they're called sheep about 400 times. In the whole Bible, about 400 times, the people of God are called sheep. And God is called a shepherd about 100 times. This is a big deal. This is a very important word in the Bible. And the point is that sheep need leadership. The problem is that these leaders are half-hearted, they're brutal, and they're neglectful. Okay, so this is ancient Israel, okay? About 500 or 600 BC. Does this sound like any situation today? If you watch the news, read the newspaper, look on YouTube, do you see any governments, any countries, any politicians, any companies, any businesses with bad leaders? there's nothing new under the sun. Right? Leaders are failing all the time. And that's what Ezekiel is saying here. That it's because of their heart. Now, don't get me wrong. There are good leaders. Okay? The problem is, there are more bad leaders than there are good leaders. Yeah. And that's why it's so refreshing and so wonderful when we see somebody who is a good, loving, gracious, strong leader full of grace and truth. But there's so few. And that's why all of us, and I'll get to this, we'll put this in the end of the sermon, but all of us are desperate for a shepherd. We're desperate for a shepherd who will be full of grace and truth. Now, so let's get to the solution that God provides, the ultimate solution. The partial solution was human leaders. But then God says, here's the gospel. Okay? It starts at verse 11 and 12. And let me see if I can find it here. Where is it here? And then in your bulletin, I'll put it up there. So it's a two-part solution, part of verses 11 and 12, and then verse 23. But here it says, look, verse 11, he says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I will rescue them. And then verse 13, I will bring them out. I will bring them in. So God is saying, I'm going to do it myself. Your leaders, your human leaders, have failed. So let me be the one to do the job. That's half of it. But now look what happens. This is the great part. We get to verse 23. It says, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I myself. Okay, so all of these things are I. All my my slides are out of order, so please forgive me. And then look at verse 23. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. Remember, David has been dead for hundreds of years. So how is it that God will be the shepherd, but at the same time, he will make David their shepherd? How does that happen? There's only one answer. Are you ready? God will send himself in the form of someone who is the descendant of David. Did you catch it? God is himself will come in the form of the descendant of David. Okay, so who is that? Well, 600 years later, Jesus comes. And he gets up in the middle of all of the leaders in Jerusalem. And he tells them this thing. He says, everyone, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm the one that David is talking about. And so all of the leaders, all the priests, and all of the scribes, and all of the religious, they take out their phone, they open their Bible app, and they say, wait. Jesus just said that he is the good shepherd. And they look it up, they go, good shepherd. Wait, that's something Ezekiel said. No, that's something Jeremiah said. Yeah, that's something Isaiah said. All of the big prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all talked about the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the son of David. And that's why they wanted to kill Jesus. Why did they want to kill a good man? Jesus was feeding people, teaching people, helping people, healing them from their sickness, driving out the demons. You don't want to kill a good man. right here. Jesus did not say, I'm a good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. Right? A good shepherd. ごめん。ちょっと日本語の日本語でもう文法を説明します。Okay? あっていう漢詞がね、いろいろありますけれど、the っていう漢詞が、指定漢詞は唯一であるの。Right? If you have a, it means I'm one of many. He didn't say I'm a good shepherd. I'm the one.And only. He says, I'm the one Ezekiel was talking about in chapter 34. I'm the good shepherd. And so the leader said, okay, where's the rocks? Let's kill this man. He says he is God. Right? So they kill him. He's crucified. The problem is he rose from the dead 3 days later.And his followers, one of his lead disciples, Peter. Peter says, Jesus is the shepherd and overseer of our souls. The writer of Hebrews says, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Yeah. Now, how is Jesus our great shepherd? How is he...the great overseer of our souls. Right? Like I told you, he's full of grace and truth. But you know what? Here it is. He has the heart, the motivation of a true shepherd. He's not here to be served, but to serve. Let me show you a mystery. How is it that Jesus is...the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. So this is from Revelation chapter 7. A very strange part of the vision of John. He has a vision of heaven. And in this great vision of heaven, he sees the throne of heaven where the King of Kings sits. And he says there, on the throne where the King of Heaven, the King of the universe, where it sits, he says, the Lamb...who is at the center of the throne, will shepherd them, guide them to streams of waters of life. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Wait. On the throne is a lamb who becomes a shepherd. Are you crazy, John? How is a lamb a shepherd, right? You go back to John chapter 10, where it says,The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he's not the shepherd, doesn't own the sheep. He leaves them and runs away. How does the lamb become the shepherd? You see, when Jesus was on the cross...He said, my God, why have you abandoned me? That's from Psalm 22. And Psalm 22, if you keep reading, it talks about wild animals. Dogs and lions and bulls that want to try to attack him. Do you know a shepherd? You know, in the current day, being a shepherd is not dangerous. It's dirty.But in ancient times, if you were a shepherd, you're out in the wilderness, right? You have a bunch of sheep, good, soft, delicious, helpless meat, right? And here you are, you're just a human being. You have a buffet right before you. All these wild animals just want to come and take it, right? Right. Predators.You know what the Bible says? Sin is a wild animal that wants to attack us. It says in Galatians, sin will come and find you. But even worse than that, in Genesis chapter 4, Abel is going to kill his brother Cain, or Cain is going to kill his brother Abel. And God says one of the scariest things about sin. He says, Cain, you want to kill Abel. You know what, Cain? Sin is an animal. He's crouching, and he's ready to devour you. He's ready to sink his teeth into you. You have to master your sin. Otherwise, the sin will conquer you. Right? And so there's Jesus Christ on the cross. The bulls, the dogs, the lions, they're devouring him. What's happening? Galatians says, your sin will find you out. Listen. Listen. No one gets away with anything. There is no such thing as a small lie, a little white lie. Even a small lie, what happens? You're creating a reality, a false reality. You're marking your soul. And you don't change a great deal with a small lie, but you change just a little bit. And you start to erode your heart. You corrode your soul. And you keep going further down the line. What happens? You begin to worry. Somebody will discover you. Somebody will find you out. And so what do? You build another lie on top of that lie. The cover-up is worse than the crime. Your sin will find you out. That's what sin does. And so Jesus is on that cross. And you know what he's doing? He's letting the sin find him out. It's sin he did not deserve. It's judgment and condemnation he did not deserve. But he took it for us because he lays down his life for the sheep, right? He's the good shepherd. There's no parent, there's no minister, there's no shacho, there's no manager who will do that for you. Only Jesus can do that for you. Only Jesus. And that's the whole point of the sermon. So let's apply this. I just want to apply this real quick and we're done. We're going to go to communion. Only Jesus can be your good shepherd. So here's what happens. Oh, good sermon, Chris. That's nice. Very inspiring. Let's go home. No, 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 no. Not that easy. There's people here from all cultures, but here's how two cultures look at shepherds. In the East, we look at authority. Authority is very strong because authority is security. It's a good thing. But it can be corrupting. Last night I went out to dinner with a friend from India. And his sister she was married a couple of years ago. And I asked him, is it an arranged marriage? And he said, yes. Right? In India, he said 80% of the marriages are arranged by the parents. His sister's marriage was arranged, but she consented to the marriage. She found a nice boy, and she asked for her parents' permission to marry him. But that's rare. He says this, my friend from India said this. He said, 80% of marriages are not consented to, they're imposed. Because the parents, the shepherds, have all of the power, all of the authority. Are you clear? Now, some of you, you understand. You're from a culture that's traditional, Eastern. And you say, yeah. My parents, my authority figures, they were very important, right? But the other part of you, who's modern and from the West, or industrialized, you think, where's the freedom? Where's the independence? We reject utter and complete authority. We elect our leaders. And you know what we do after we elect the leaders? We complain about them. And we take those bums right out of service and we elect more leaders. And what happens? They're just as bad as the ones we elected, but we say, no one has complete authority over me. No one has complete authority over us, right? So what does it mean that Jesus is the shepherd? It means this. Your idea that your parents or a boss or that he has all authority over you? No. It's relative compared to the ultimate shepherd who is Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, all of us who think, I'm the captain, I'm the free, I have the liberty. No. You don't understand the Bible that says you are sheep in need of a shepherd, someone who has authority over you. Right? That's one idea. Here's the second idea. If you believe that Jesus Christ is a shepherd, the good shepherd, you need to join a church. You want to follow Jesus? You want him to be your savior? That's fine. He will not be your savior unless he is your shepherd. Because if Jesus is just your savior, he's up there, up in the heavens, and he does this great thing, you need a shepherd for your soul. That happens in community. Now the problem is, there's some bad shepherds in bad churches. But what does that matter? You still need to find a good shepherd who is a good sheep himself. Now, I'm not saying I'm that guy. Actually, Pastor Hiroshi is that guy. Follow him. Okay? But, yeah. Let me put it this way. I'll tell you a story. I'm preaching too much. Let's have a good story. So there's a story about Odysseus, the ancient Greek captain. Do you know the story, Odysseus? No? Let me tell you. Okay. There's a war in Troy, the Trojan Wars. They win the war. They're going home by ship. And they're going to pass this island with a bunch of beautiful singers, sirens they're called. And so the captain, Odysseus, he says this, "Boys, tie me to the front of the ship. Tie my arms and don't let me move. And we're going to go by this island and I'm going to lose my mind because the singers are going to get to me. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, go right by the island and don't let those sirens influence the way I think." He's the captain, but you know what he said? "We're not going to get home unless I submit to you. I will lose my freedom. I will let myself go and lose my liberty because I understand I need accountability. I need someone who can say, we're going to go home this way." And all of us here think we're the captain of our ship. We think we're Nelson Mandela, South Africa, and we're Invictus. I'm the captain of my soul. I'm the captain, the maker of my... No, you're not. If you follow Jesus, he's not only your savior, he must be your shepherd. You need to tie yourself to the ship and say, I give you my liberty. I give you my freedom. I give you my will. Be my shepherd. You see, when the Bible says that you're sheep, it's an insult. It's not saying, oh, you're so cute and you're soft. No, that's not what he's saying. Okay? I'm not a shepherd. I don't know anything about shepherds. I had to look this up. Okay? Sheep, if anything, they're foolish. That's a nice way of saying they're stupid. Okay? Here's what they do. There's this couple driving around England. They're going up a steep mountain. And down the mountain, they see, oh, look, some soft white dots. They're sheep. And they go down to where the white sheep are, and they find out they're all dead. They're dead sheep at the bottom of the mountain. Why? Because sheep are so stupid, they will go anywhere. If one sheep goes over the cliff, all the others will go right over the cliff. And that's what they found. Sheep, They love to just go and wander everywhere they want. And they get lost so easily that the shepherd has to go and find them, and they don't want to follow the shepherd back. You know what they do? They'll fight the shepherd. The shepherd has to grab them, knock them down, tie their feet, pick them up, put them on the shoulder, and then walk them home. Okay? In fact, sheep are so stupid. They will get lost, but they can see the home, whatever, the home field. Right? They're in sight of their home, but they still don't know how to get there. That's sheep. And sheep are so foolish. What they have to do, shepherds have to take sheep and let them eat a little bit of the grass. And then they say, stop eating. We have to go to the next pasture. You eat a little bit of the grass. And then stop eating. We'll go to the next one. Why? If the sheep are left there, you know what they'll do? They'll eat the grass all the way down to the dirt. And then they'll starve because they don't know where else to go. So the leader, the shepherd, has to say, you have no freedom. You want to be here, but you need to go somewhere else. You want to stay here. You want to stand here. You want to wander off. But you need the shepherd to lead you back home. One more. Some of us, we're looking for a shepherd other than Jesus. We think if we have that one relationship, if we just get married, that shepherd will fix us. Or, our parents, they failed completely. It's their fault that I have such a bad life, and we blame them for being bad shepherds. But the good news is that no leader, no authority is ever good enough. No marriage, no relationship will ever be enough to fix you, to bring you home. You need the one shepherd who loved you and gave his life for you. You need the one who says, I've done it all. I've given it all. I've laid down my life. That's what you need. That's the good shepherd. He's the shepherd king. Now, we transition. Here today is a communion Sunday. And, Miwa-san, 大丈夫です。大丈夫。 This is the bread. And the bread is a symbol of God's body. In fact, it's more than a symbol. Jesus says it is his body. When you take this bread and you put it in your mouth, you're taking Jesus, who is the bread of life, the good shepherd, and you're taking his body, his energy, his life into yours. Okay? And then we have this cup. It's made from grape juice, from the vine. And Jesus says, this cup is my blood that I gave for you. And so he says, if you're my sheep, this is the shepherd's blood and this is the shepherd's body. And so here it is. Thanks. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. And so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is a meal. So last night, I had a meal with friends from work. Hold on, sorry. Jesus, our shepherd, is giving us a meal. He's feeding us. He's feeding us with himself. Therefore, if he is not your shepherd, this is not for you. Just refrain. Just remain seated and wait. If you are his sheep, and he is your shepherd, I want you to come. Let's have a meal with our shepherd, okay? So I'm going to invite you. Okay. Okay, so let's go ahead. Please rise and come on up. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. May the God of peace, who brought Jesus back from the dead, the great shepherd of our souls, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which pleases him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming today. God bless you. Have a good week. Amen.